Welcome to the Traveler's Guide to Life podcast, Season 3, Navigating Through National Hospice and Palliative Care Month. Episode 2, Scenic View, National Hospice and Palliative Care Month with Diane Pickering, RN, Program Director for Advanced Illness Management. Welcome, Diane.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good. So we're here to hear about the Advanced Illness Management Program that you run.
Well, there's so much to tell. First, we often refer to it as AIM so that people will be familiar with that. We've shortened it. Advanced Illness Management is a mouthful, so we just go with AIM. AIM was actually born out of hospice several years ago. There was a sense that there were many people who were falling through the cracks, and by that we meant that people who needed some assistance, but they weren't quite hospice-eligible patients at this point. And what else could Hospice and Palliative Care St. Lawrence Valley do for people that were out in the community? So we developed this program called AIM. We actually have changed the name. It was simply Palliative Care originally, but that seemed to scare people. And right. People were petrified because, again, it was related to hospice, and they were not wanting hospice. They were just, I don't want to hear about that. I'm not there. I don't want that. In fact, it was so crazy in the beginning of the stages of it, our phone numbers were caller IDs to hospice, and our patients wouldn't call us back. So we went to great lengths to change the caller ID and identify the program differently, because it really is not hospice.
Right.
So what we try and do is help people with chronic illness who, for various reasons, need an extra layer of support. And that support comes in the form of the medical support, because we are not a home care agency. So we do not have a full staff that people would expect perhaps into their home. We're small, but we like to say we're small but mighty. So we have providers that go to the home. They make the old-fashioned house calls, and that's probably one of the simplest ways to explain the program to patients who have no idea. Oftentimes what I will get is phone calls from various people, from patients, from families, from hospitals, from home care agencies, just looking for what they call help in the home. They really can't identify the help that they want, but they just know they need something.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings me into a whole world of theirs, and I try and get from them what they're looking for, what's right for them. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not the one who's going to say, you need to do this, that, or the other thing. Right. And that's not our job. We want to walk whichever way you're walking. And mm-hmm. if we can be that supportive role for you, that's what we want to do. So oftentimes I will start with a lot of inquiries, and I'll just really at first listen to what they're looking for. So they may be calling for mom, dad, for their husband, for their wife to say that they've been ill lately, that they've gone to the hospital, they've been out of the hospital, they've been in the hospital, that they're really having a difficult time now. That difficult time means different things for different people, so you always have to get into what does that look like for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and things, for example, with people with lung disease who may have difficulty breathing, and they are repeat people to the hospital because they're fearful. You can't breathe. It's a horrible situation.
Horrible.
A common cold is hard enough to deal with. Now we have people who have serious lung diseases, and they're going over to the hospital because they don't know what else to do.
Right.
So those are examples that I sometimes use, and what we can help in that situation is if they call us, we can perhaps get a visit scheduled for them, get somebody out there to see them, and start treating them before they have to get to an emergency room situation. And a lot of times that's very helpful, because these patients, if they're treated early, will then not get to that level where they'll have to get an ambulance and go to an emergency room. So again, it's a matter of finding what they are looking for. There are people who say, no, I just need some help because I can't stay here all day. You know, mom needs somebody to sit with them. And oftentimes I have to say that's not us. We can offer, you know, the agencies in the county mm-hmm. and try and direct, but that's not our program.
Right.
And then we often talk a lot about what they're looking for and how serious the illness is, what's appropriate for them, what do they want to do. And it generally brings me into, I don't want to say comparisons, but giving the palliative side and what that looks like, or and the hospice side and what that looks like for them. Again, those choices are individual choices, and the AIM program being that extra layer support sometimes is just something people are a little more or a little less anxious about yeah. so that they can go ahead and say, yeah, I think I'll go with that kind of a program and see how I do.
Do you have people that eventually sign off of AIM?
Interestingly, have less people that sign off of AIM. The most time people leave AIM is really when they leave the area.
Okay.
Most people do not, and we do transition people over to hospice if and when they're ready for that.
Right.
Not everybody goes on hospice.
Right.
We do a lot of talking about it. We talk about that fork in the road when you no longer want to seek treatment anymore, when you no more want to go back to the hospitals. And maybe that's an appropriate time to get that additional support of hospice in the home, because hospice has more support than we do.
Right.
So we, again, it's an individual decision. I often, when I get just blind phone calls, will give information to the person who's calling and let them think about it. Let them talk about it to their families. Let them talk about it with the patient and make those decisions among themselves. I always offer to get on a call with a family so that I can answer all the questions at the same time that they may have, comparing the two. Sometimes people take me up on it. Sometimes they get enough information. Other times they'll say, you know what, sign me up. So it varies, and it's just where people are when they're actually starting to make that phone call.
And how do you work with their providers, the docs that they are seeing? How does AIM interact with that?
So for every patient that we sign on to our program, we, in advance of signing them on, will research the medical records. So we will actually call their primary providers, and we will ask them or tell them that we have a referral, we'd like to go in and see the patient. We don't really, when the program was new, it was a little more explanation for the providers. Now they're fine, and they send over basic information to us and get medical records. And as we go into the home, then we keep the lines of communication open by sending them copies of everything that we do. So for every provider that a patient may be seeing, be it a specialist, be their primary care, we literally send our entire note to them for every single visit.
So they stay on top of what's going on.
The hope is that we have that continuity of care, that they can see what or read what we are seeing in the home, that those patients who you have short periods of time in an office or who end up in a hospital and you don't see all of it, we're hoping to give them a better picture of what actually goes on in the home.
And what about the patients that haven't been able to get to the doctor's office? Obviously, COVID has played a huge role in that. But what do you do with the ones that maybe haven't seen a doctor in 2 or 3 years?
So we try and encourage the patients to have a relationship and to continue with their primary care providers. If they haven't seen them, you know, the questions are why. We don't assume the role of primary care physicians because we're a specialty. So we're an extra layer, not that primary layer of care. So we do not discourage people from going to their primaries. But as we know up here in St. Lawrence County with the vast territory, you have patients that even seasonally, can't get out or find it more difficult to get out. So if they have to skip a visit for primary care, we're going in on a monthly basis. Most primary care providers are good with that. They don't need it because they know that we'll be in there and we're renewing medications and we're checking on them and we're doing what needs to get done. So they're generally fine with that. If they don't have any, we do try and refer them to people as well so that they do establish with somebody. That, again, because we feel that that is important, that there is a primary care provider who will deal with the overall, and we'll go in for managing symptoms and to help, you know, be that extra layer of support, but we don't want to assume the role of the primary care provider.
No. So it's really a collaboration with the medical community and the AIM program.
Absolutely. And we not only collaborate with the physicians involved in the care, but if they have anybody else in the home. So the home care agencies, for example, are very, very glad to see us in the home and to get the copies of what's going on and get orders. The hospitals will also let us know when our patients have gone into the hospital and contact us with a plan for discharge. When could we see them again? So it is seen as a huge support system for most of our patients.
What do you think are the rewards of for the patients that are on the AIM program?
I think the continuity. I think that coming to them is a big weight off of them, that they don't have to go to so many visits now, especially when their health is declining. Yeah. I think the trust that they develop with our providers and the rapport that they develop with those providers, because they're in their own home. Right. They feel comfortable. They're not rushed. They're able to sit at their kitchen table or on their living room sofa, and it's for them, I think, a lot of times easier to talk.
Right. And I think today when you go to the doctor's office, you're looking at 10 to 15 minutes tops, and 15 is a stretch for talking with the doc. And how long do your providers stay with them? What's their average?
So our average new patient that we see when we're first signing them on is 2 hours. And that's because we go through so much medical history to make sure that we have what we need to know the whole person and all of the things that they've been dealing with. But we also talk about advanced care planning. We talk about healthcare proxies. So we do a lot of that. And if those items aren't in place, we will actually do that with the patient and the family. We always ask for a family member to be present because we like for somebody else besides the patient to hear what we've said. Because sometimes it can be overwhelming. You have 2 hours of somebody asking you questions. By the end of that, sometimes your head is spinning, you know, right. And you what did they say about this?
Right.
So we always ask a family member to be there. And then our follow-up visits are generally 45 minutes to an hour, depends on what's going on with the patients. And they occur on a monthly basis after the initial visit.
How many people in the AIM program are you caring for right now?
Our census is over 100 and has remained consistently over 100. And it's always changing because we have patients who are transitioning over to hospice, mm-hmm. people who have, you know, in the hospital we may not be actively seeing for one particular month, but we pick them up the following month once they're discharged again. But generally speaking, we have about 100 patients. Or more.
So we've heard you talk about the rewards. What are the challenges with the AIM program?
Getting there. St. Lawrence County is huge.
Yes.
We're covering the whole county. And we'd like to be that extra layer of support. It's hard to get from Star Lake to Messina in the same day. And so the planning for it, the scheduling for it, the follow-up visits are all a big puzzle that the boots on the ground back in the office do for the providers who are traveling the country.
Right.
And they've been some pretty interesting places. Hard to find, backwoods.
sometimes,
but we go
unseeable roads in the winter.
Unseeable roads, unplowed roads.
Yes.
Park
yes.
at the main road and walk in with your snowshoes.
It's probably more than they bargained for, but it's good.
It is. You know, there are challenges coordinating the care, mm-hmm. especially because you have different agencies. So we're one agency. A family can have 2 and 3 agencies in a home at a right. single time. Plus then you have, you know, all of the specialties. So beyond the primary care provider, you also have all of the specialists that they see.
Right.
So trying to pull all of that information, there's no way to pull medical information from somebody else's medical records to our medical records.
Right.
So all of that is background work that we have to do and continue to do because those visits continue with specialties and us. And so we're constantly saying when we go to a visit, well, have you seen anybody lately? And if they say, yeah, I was down in Syracuse and saw the cardiologist, then we have to reach out to Syracuse and find the cardiologist and say, right. can you send us what's going on or what things you would like?
Right.
Because we want to support whatever findings that you have.
What do you see as the future for the AIM program moving forward?
If I had a wish list, I would expand it so that we could do more visits. I would add staff to it. The biggest problem that we have with it is from a financial standpoint in adding people to it that we don't get reimbursed for it. So not to make it about money, but it is a financial concern when you want to grow a program and maybe hire more providers and maybe put some nursing people out there.
Right.
Nurses won't get paid to go into the home because we're not a certified home care agency.
Right.
But the need is huge in this county.
Right.
And COVID has made it even bigger,
yes.
so that people now are fearful of going out.
Absolutely.
And for a long time with COVID, people weren't getting health care, and that was the other issue that made so much of an impact on the community, that people just could not get anywhere.
No.
We didn't stop, interestingly enough. Well, let me backtrack. We stopped going into the homes for about 3 weeks and then said, we can't do this. We were doing it over the phone 100%. And although we still do televisits today for some of our patients, there was another whole group of patients that it just wasn't working for.
Right.
And those patients weren't calling to get what they needed. Whereas if we show up,
then
we can see it.
Right. How many people do you have out in the field?
Currently, we have one in the field and one who does telehealth remotely. We are looking to add an additional provider on, hopefully, before the end of this year.
Mm-hmm. And they're all nurse practitioners, correct?
They are all nurse practitioners.
And you can bill for a visit.
Yes, absolutely. We bill just similar to a physician office bill, so that patients really don't see a lot of it, unless they have big deductibles and their insurance and stuff. It's just similar to a physician office. It's just that we're coming to them.
Right. Do you see in the future that palliative care, this AIM program, would be funded through Medicare?
We're hoping so.
Yeah.
There's a big push for palliative care. There's a nationwide recognition of the services that it provides now and that the need is there. So I think there's some school of thoughts that, you know, just paying it as an office visit when it's taking you an hour to get to the place, to a patient's home, you know, an hour to 2 hours in the home and then the travel back.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge expense for an organization.
Absolutely.
So, and to get, you know, your typical Medicare office visit for it, it really does not cover the cost.
No, definitely not. What would you say the average age of your patients are?
So we serve adult populations. We've had people as young as 16, 17. the average age is in the 60s and 70s, I would say. You know, when you think about people with chronic illness, this is built up over years.
Right.
And so that's typically when they get to the stage where I'm really struggling with this now.
Right. So, but you don't see people with, like, chronic pain issues, back issues, any of that. You're looking for more that long-term.
Yes, we do not, and that's another big missing piece, I guess, in St. Lawrence County is pain management.
Yeah.
A lot of local pain management offices have closed. We do pain management, but we do pain management in conjunction with the chronic illness.
Right.
So if you're somebody who is a younger person who had a back injury, who, you know, through workman's comp or whatever, that's not what we do.
Right.
So that's not where we get into the pain management. If you're an oncology patient or you're somebody that has, you know, a chronic osteoarthritis and back pains and have had hip fractures and plus you have a bunch of other medical issues, mm-hmm. and you come on service, will we take care of that pain management? Absolutely, because that's part of the symptom management that we do.
Do you do any emergency, like, you know, hospice has on-call? Does AIM have on-call, or do they talk to their doc and go to the emergency room and let you know about it? How does that work?
We do not have on-call. We tell our patients that if you're looking for us in the middle of the night, you probably need to go to an emergency room. You probably need more care, and we need to talk about where it is that you want to go from here. A lot of our patients don't call, though. So we're pretty much, you know, during the week, Monday through Friday. Have we ever gotten calls on a weekend from patients, the nurse practitioners and I? Absolutely. But we don't have a 24/7 call service similar to hospice.
Okay. Anything else you'd like us to know about the AIM program?
It's a great service.
It's a very great service.
Our patients, I think, really do appreciate it. And I think that to have been involved in the beginning of this, to see how it has grown now and the patients that we have, has been pretty amazing. And I wish we could reach more. I wish we had more providers who were willing to go into the homes. That's, you know, one of the challenges.
Absolutely. How can people get more information about the AIM program? What's the best method?
Call our offices, and the number is 315-262-0861, and they just have to ask for information. Oftentimes I'm there so I can answer questions for people who have more specific than what we've just discussed. If not, we can always put stuff in the mail and get people information, so okay. Whichever works for them.
Well, thank you, Diane, for coming in to talk to us today. Thanks to the Potsdam Public Library for the use of the podcast studio. And check out Hospice of St. Lawrence Valley website. We do have information about palliative care. For additional resources at www.hospiceslv.org. This is Mary Jones and
Diane Pickering. Thank you for having me.
And we'll see you on the road.